Thank you, Ken. Just quick mic check, if you wouldn't mind, Ken, or someone mentioning that you can hear me okay. Good. So, hey, everybody, good to be here. Welcome to our Sunday gathering on August 12th. It's awesome to see everyone that we're gathered, and hello to everyone out listening on the radio. So, to start out, for those in the room, let's start by taking a few minutes to open our hearts, say hi, and to greet each other. And as we welcome each other in our Sunday gathering, make sure to also welcome each other into our hearts in our acknowledgement of our oneness. So, I will turn the mic over now to Lynn to play our opening song.
We are awakening to the calling of the mystic, awakening in the flowering of the heart. Everybody here melting into presence, overflowing effervescence. Rising in love, we are awakening to a long forgotten memory. Dawn is breaking, waves are coming in. Everybody here, standing in wonder beneath the rain and the thunder, rising in love.
Thank you, Lynn. And starting off now with our statement of purpose. Here in Awakening Together, we are an assembly of equals joined in a common purpose, which is awakening to one true self. Within an appearance of many faiths, many cultures, and many symbols, we seek to discern one truth and to rest in its embrace. And I am going to choose the first of our five core values to highlight this morning, which is that we trust everyone is led by unique inner guidance to one experience called awakening, which is realization of one true self. We live this value by supporting one another on different paths to awakening. And thank you, Ken, for so quickly pasting that value. And I know that would be amazing if you typed it. I think you pasted it. So, moving on to our announcements. The first announcement, in case you missed the posted announcement, three new members were elected to the Board of Trustees. One of them is a returning member. Two of them are new to the board. This election ended on Monday, August 6th, and they are Anne Blanchard, Kathy Smith, and Carrie Christensen, returning for another term. So thank you to everyone who voted in the election. We really do appreciate your participation. We had a really good turnout this time. Quite a few people in the membership did vote. So congratulations to all of them. And I'm also serving on the Member Board of Trustees, so I look forward to working with Anne and Kathy closer. That should be a lot of fun. So the second announcement is Awakening Together. There's a class that's offered here as part of our MPP curriculum, as well as you can just take the course if you're not in MPP, and it is Introduction to NTI. It's a six-week class that highlights the key themes from Holy Spirit's interpretation of the New Testament, which of course we're going through in General Healing as well. In this class, you will go through Luke, Acts, Galatians, and Revelation. And this class facilitator is going to be Reverend Helen Avery. So this will be held on Thursday evenings, and all of these classes, recent times here, have been in the Thursday evening slot. That's from 7:30 to 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time, which is 4:30 to 6:30 Pacific. And the classes will start from September 6th to 11th. So homework does begin on August 31st, and registration closes on August 28th. And this is slightly out of order of how we would normally offer the courses, but this was switched with Ramana Maharshi for reasons of how who needed to attend it at the time. So if you do want to get in on the NTI class, and maybe you're not part of the General Healing class, this is a great opportunity to do that. Our third announcement is related to our retreat house. Woohoo! We continue to make progress towards purchasing the retreat house in La Vida. In the past week, we've received the home inspection report. We have requested some repairs from the sellers and reached a resolution regarding the requested work. Yes, I was wondering about that. Tonight, the Board of Directors will meet to review everything related to the purchase of 807 East Field Street in La Vida as our retreat house. They will approve or disapprove of the purchase tonight based upon all available information. If they approve the purchase, we will move forward with the purchase process. Our next step is to obtain insurance. There are three different insurers working on policy quotes for us now, and that's also very exciting because I know that was a issue to find an insurer. There was a lot of insurers that Regina called on to find those three. So I just did want to throw out a question about the money situation if we were on budget. I don't know if now's a good time to ask that or if you'll cover that at some other time, but I know there was a goal to raise funds. I don't know if we've reached that or not, but I'll just throw that out there. So we're going to now go into our prayer. I'm going to lead us in an invocation prayer for our gathering this morning. Dear God, infinite being in love, Holy Spirit, open my heart and my mind to you. I trust the wisdom and guidance that comes from that one true source as my only guide. I give my trust and my willingness to walk on the path of purification and healing that shall make the way clear to live in presence eternally. Amen. And so turning the mic back over to our music maestro Lynn for another song. A great song. Yes. Beware of Maya. You know, speaking of that, I mean, one of the main themes I think for today that I was drawn to speak about, in process I usually go through in terms of how I'm going to pick my sermon or service I'm going to talk about as I sort of intuitively pull a book off the shelf and say a little prayer first. So one of the messages from the book I picked and how I opened it up, definitely reminds us to face our fears. And also, you know, from the teachings of Regina, the point of why we're here is for happiness, for joy, you know, and it's through those fears that we can face and find this joy, you know, and that's, we don't want to dwell in the fears of the sadness. We want to face it and move through it to then get to the other side so that we're free of it. And we can be in that moment. So the process of purification is a big process of what we're all going through right now. So I guess it was appropriate in that respect. And in the book I picked was something I hadn't looked at in many years. It's a book by Greg Braden called Walking Between the Worlds, The Science of Compassion. And some of you may have read this book years ago or read other Greg Braden books. I actually met him in a conference here in Chicago. I actually was working on the staff to put on this event called Celebrate Your Life, and I ended up introducing him on the stage, which was kind of fun. I've been many years I've read his books and studied these works, so it was good to get back in touch with this again. And I reached out to Sonia, who will be agreed to be our reader this morning. So she'll be reading from chapter 5. One of the sections that is in this chapter is talking about discovering the universal fears, which, you know, many of this is teachings you may have heard before, but this is maybe a different way of saying it that I hope you can gain some insight and hopefully some inspiration to move through the process. So I'm going to turn it over to you now, Sonia.
Good morning, everyone, and happy August. Thank you, Jay, for letting me read this morning. And it was really an interesting, interesting article. And I love August. So it opens every year with Regina's birthday. So happy belated birthday, Regina. And we close the month with my friend Reverend Myron Jones's birthday. So happy future birthday, Reverend, and to everyone else who celebrates their birthday in August. Happy August. All right, so now let's get to the reading. And this is from Greg Braden. And I think Jay gave the book. It's Walking Between the Worlds. Second universal fear, self-worth. Almost universally, there is a feeling that runs through each individual of each family in every culture and society of this world that we are somehow not good enough. Through logic and rationalization, we create scenarios describing why we are not worthy of our greatest dreams, highest aspirations, or deepest desires. Though we may wish, want, and dream, there is a doubt from deep within that we will ever have, because we collectively question our deservability. Why would we expect to feel any differently? For at least the last 2,000 years, we have been told by those we trusted and respected that we are somehow lesser beings than our angelic counterparts. We have convinced ourselves that by virtue of being birthed into this world, we have committed an act from which we will always be seeking redemption from a force that we are told is beyond our understanding. Through the faint memory of Jesus of Nazareth, for example, we are compared to a distorted memory that we can never live up to. Though sometimes offered in a joking manner, words reminding of us of our inadequacy are common, touching something deep within. Who do you think you are, Jesus Christ? How will you get there, walk on water? How many times have you heard these or similar admonitions in your lifetime? How many times have you been told that you may try to live the best life possible, and still, you will never be good enough? Still, you will never be viewed as an equal with Jesus of Nazareth or some other ascended master. On some level, you may believe these suggestions. On some level, we all do. We have agreed to collective expressions to limits of our worth. In the acceptance of these illusory limits, we question our gift of life and our qualifications to accept the eternal nature of our gift. Again, inherent in the questioning of our worth is the charge of what our worth means to us. Our fear of inadequacy and worth promises that our relationships will mirror our fear. Let me say that again. Our fear of inadequacy and worth promises that our relationships will mirror our fear. If you do not remember the value of your life as a part of this world, there's a good possibility that your fears will express themselves to you in ways that you would not expect. For example, do you settle for relationships that are not truly what you choose to have in your life, yet rationalize your situation by saying, "This isn't the love of my life, but it's good enough for now"? Do you find yourself saying, "I would love to have a partner in my life that I can share the joys of my life with, but," or, "This is not the job where I really feel that I can express my gifts, but," followed by all of the reasons that your desires cannot be met at the present time? If these or similar scenarios are or have played out in your life, there is a good possibility that they are your socially acceptable and skillfully created masks of you questioning your self-worth and deservability in this world. The relationships are your way of reminding yourself of your core patterns. Your life expression of each pattern will offer you the opportunity to live in the lack of, not good enough, settling into a pattern of complacent acceptance, or recognize what your relationships are showing you and choose a higher option. And that concludes the reading today. Jay, thank you so much. I was honored to be your reader, and love to everyone. And again, happy belated birthday, Regina.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Sonia. And yes, happy birthday to Regina. Yeah, that came up on Facebook and I saw that. That's one thing I appreciate about Facebook is the birthday reminders. You know, one of the things that there was some talk of, you know, because as I picked this, I was like, why am I picking this? This is like, I've heard this 1,000 times. We've talked about this 1,000 times. Why did Spirit guide me to pick this part of this book, of this chapter? So I just, you know, surrendered to that and went ahead and just went with it and trusted that this is here for all of us, for a message for me, for, you know, this is in the highest. One of the things I ran across was a teaching that Regina gave in Portland. She was talking about whether you're alone or in relationship is the same. We're learning to go within and be with the self, because the relationship with the self is actually the most important thing. And what comes up in all of our relationships, and regardless if you're in relationship or not, you have relationships with other people of some kind throughout the course of your day and life. So, you know, these things will come up. I mean, all of our relationships do show us the mirrors. And of course, maybe Greg Braden, the way he expressed some of these things, like how he talked about the world, the way he wrote that, it's almost like he's presenting the world as real in that way, which according to my current understanding and where I'm at in my teachings, I don't really quite see the world in the same way as he's describing here. But I think taking the essence of this is, you know, like what from Regina teaches about is the bad thought. And how often we have been compared, especially in our religious upbringing, to hold Jesus on a pedestal that we can't ever achieve, or, you know, in general, that's sort of the that sort of negative downside that's kind of echoed across through all these religions as we're taught and compared, et cetera. You know, on the one hand, I guess it keeps you humble, right? But typically it, you know, has that negative vibe to it. And I think that the reason that we do that is because it's already in the mind, that low self-value, that fear thought, that deep I am bad is already in there. So what we create in our religions and our expression is just a reflection of what already is in the mind. It's not the religion that did it. It's the minds that put those sort of thoughts forth in the beginning to even teach that. You know, and another teaching of non-duality and with NTI and Nisargadatta and other teachings, our true desires are for happiness and peace. Our deep, you know, the mind wants to interpret that through its filters, right? As I'm going to have the relationship of my dreams, I'm going to have the job of my dreams, seeking the outer expression, but that's really not, that's a distortion of it, because it's implying that we have to do something or have a condition or circumstance that will then make us happy. which then opens the door to the comparison, which we won't match up to, right? You know, so it's the limiting of our worth that we accept through believing that our projection's real that gets us into that situation in the first place. You know, so on a physical level, I guess some people go through the sort of law of attraction, success coaching to get a better life, have that better relationship, get the better job. And to some degree, I guess some people are able to create conditions and circumstances. And I know in my own life, I've certainly created conditions and circumstances, quote unquote, that seem to be more of my liking or better or whatever. But even them are only temporary, right? I mean, it's always what's going on inside that matters, because we can always, the mind will never be satisfied with any success, as we all know. You know, and the truth of it is, our experience itself, and I got this from a contemplation I did back on Thursday. This was, I'm a little bit behind in the gentle healing class, but this is a contemplation I received about experience itself. So the contemplation is experience, and this was from Thought of Awakening 177. Pause for a moment today and ask, what is experience? Where does experience come from? Look carefully until you know you have found the answer. For the end of all suffering is in sight. And my contemplation is, experience is made and lived in mind. It is the interaction of thoughts with each other in a play of imagined dream. It is temporary and can be only experienced with joy if the choice to truly see is chosen. Experience is the domain of the eye and requires an eye to be experienced, because there is a seeming subject of I that is experiencing the object of its experience. The experience is then believed to be real because of a willing unconsciousness, and with the adoption of a unique set of false ideas, is then seemingly unique for each I. It is the capacity for each seeming I to choose what to believe so they can have the experience. This choice can be remade any time. When the thoughts change, so do the beliefs, and so do the beliefs, and thus the seeming experience. When the thoughts change, so do the beliefs, and the seeming experience lifts to happiness in all circumstances. This is the awakened condition of mind in the seeming world. So I'm one of those that falls into sometimes not being able to read my own writing because it's kind of scribbled as it's coming so quick. And of course, that's what Greg Braden is leading to, is we actually move from thinking life sucks to wanting to pursue spirituality, or to coming to some, you know, spiritual studies or some kind of studies to want to make life better, want to improve my circumstances, want to, you know, have a different relationship or improve the relationship I have, a different job. And then you realize that's not really the ultimate fulfillment anyway. It's the inner condition. Let's go to the thoughts. Let's address letting go of those thoughts to get to that permanent happiness. But you do have to walk through and face those fears. You know, we all have, and some of these other fears are, this is one of the first of the three universal fears that this is kind of backing up, kind of started in the middle, and we'll go to the first one and the third one. The first universal fear he speaks of is abandonment and separation. And one of the things that, the concepts that came up in my contemplation was something called intentional unconsciousness, willing unconsciousness. entering into a state of wishing what it would be like to be have something different than what it is. Right? And if everything is all oneness, no object or subject, and you want to know what it's like to experience something different, well, there we go. That was was willing unconsciousness. So it's not bad or good, and we don't have to judge it as that, but this is where the concept of and the feeling of the abandonment and separation comes, is the part of us that forgot, that we forgot, thinks we've been abandoned. You know, how did we get here? I have no idea how we got here. I just wound up, I'm born, I'm in this place, you know, where did I come from? You know, it's just you feel abandoned, like we can't really understand it. Well, it's true that the mind can't understand anything other than separation. So that's true. That's why the mind has to be at rest in our state of meditation for us to begin to truly grok oneness and get it. You know, that one of the things he talks about in the first universal fear, you know, that our relationships and our experiences do, and this is the purification process we're going through, is it sort of pushes in our face these things. You know, all of the things that were the unconscious stuff that's coming up, the fears, you know. You know, and then one of the things I looked at this week is what still pisses me off, you know, because I was like, you know, what are the things that still piss me off? As of right now, let's look at the last week. You know, what is it that that just pissed me off? You know, and these are things like I dropped the keys in the ground when I was trying to open the door and I was holding something and I got pissed off. You know, I had, you know, a fear thought about money coming in again. You know, if I ordered something on Amazon and the wrong item came, I got pissed off. There's a misunderstanding of a situation, or I feel cheated in some way. And there's a couple little situations where I felt like reactions in myself about that. Doing something I didn't want to do, like climbing a ladder to get this box down, and then I got the wrong box down, so I had to climb the ladder again. Like, I got pissed off about having to do that. But it's like all of these things are all places where I can do the root cause analysis. And of course, when you do that, it all goes back to the same place. It goes back to that same unworthiness, fear thought within self. You know, and it's, I do the root cause pretty quickly in my mind. I don't have to do a long write-out process, but it's important to do that with the upsets that come up so that you can clear them up. And so one of the things he talks about back in this first universal fear, the abandonment and separation, he talks about it being in the mists of our ancestral memory. And that's, I guess you could call it more like in the mists of our ancestral forgetting, you know, that we, this willing unconsciousness that we went into. He says that our father is the vibratory field of intelligence that oscillates in each particle, that's between like each particle. It's like that space that's between the atoms is God. That is the truth. You know, he's really scientific in his writings. He likes to use a lot of scientific references. And I saw a video once where it showed a platinum atom, or a little tiny piece of platinum under an electron microscope, that was focusing so finely that it showed this grid, this matrix of atoms in this little tiny bit of platinum. And when it rotated, the atoms sort of lined up, and you could see these little spaces between the atoms. And I guess the physicists call those the bonding forces between the atoms. But that's God. That's the space. The bonding force itself is God. That is the binding of everything. And it's not good or bad. It just is what it is. So we can have that experience of the unworthiness of the upset if we do not face it, when we do not do the purification work, we repeatedly have that. So as I've gradually been doing this purification work, and I am one of those people that works 10 hours a day and practices, you know, all the time, once per day, some of the time, twice per day. You know, it's always asking myself, what are these, what is life showing me? You know, what is this experience showing me? Doing the root cause, going through the purification, facing whatever fear it is that's underneath there. And of course, there's different little sub fears that lead you to the bigger ones, right? There's always the steps along the way, right? But it's like you can never stop doing this until you're actually all the way through it. And one of the things that I've learned is it's not done until it's done. You know, it's not, you're not done with it until it's done with you. You know, it's like if you got tears that come up, you've lost somebody that you love to cancer or to some other disease, you got to be with it until it's done. You don't try to force it or suppress it or try to avoid facing into it, you know, or stay in the pain. One of the things that Greg was teaching in this book was about, you know, we can make the pain of facing these things sometimes a distraction of itself. We wallow in the pain. We stay stuck in it, or we stay stuck in our anger of a reaction, or we stay resentful about the relationship we're in, or we just get frustrated about our lack of progress with the spiritual practice we're engaged in, or whatever. That becomes the distraction where we get caught into that. You know, and then, of course, the comparisons come, right? The comparisons are always coming. You know, and then, of course, stories. The mind's always making up the stories. I mean, that's a big teaching recently in gentle healing about not only does the mind make up stories, but we were invited to contemplate how thought itself are stories. I mean, that the thought itself is the stories. You know, I did some contemplation this morning on that, and what I received was the mind must make up these stories to keep fulfilling the never satisfied hunger of trying to make projection real. A paper tiger will never be a real tiger. The fate of something that is made up is to go away upon the sobering, upon the awakening. The fate of all truth is to be realized, for truth is life, and you are life. Entering the flow of this moment is far too fast for any stagnant stories to gain root and occupy and ransom the holy mind of God. And so that was what I received this morning, was this flowing moment of life cannot be denied when you surrender to it. And that is the third universal fear that Greg Braden was talking about, is surrender and trust. You know, we have this fear of surrender. I mean, we could call it faith. What do you do when you surrender and trust? You have faith in what you can't see. What is faith but surrender and trust to something you can't see? It's inner. It's about the inner. It's trusting what's inner. Where is the true security? It's what's inner. How many times do we have to hear the same truth? Maybe 1,000, maybe 10,000. Maybe we're going to hear it for the first time after we hear it the 10,000th the first time. All beings need repetition of eternal truth. I mean, that's a phrase and a quote that I've always had. You know, letting go of the way we think things should look is really the key here. You know, having that surrender, you know, think you don't surrender to something when it's going your way. You know, in fact, when things do go our way and we have quote unquote happiness in the dream, it can be just as much of a trap, if not more of one, because then the desire to want to go inside is even lesser. you know, when things really suck, is a great time to go inside. You know, and a lot of times the awakened folks that are around us in our contemporary time here have gone through really dark night of the soul kind of times where they've given up on the world and they don't want to, you know, be a part of it anymore. You know, these things can be seen then as gifts. The times in life that are tragic can be seen as a gift because they bring us inside. You know, we've heard it. We've heard it. We know this, but we need to hear it 1,000 more times. These things are gifts. These things are all gifts that bring us inside. You know, we teach truth and we live truth and we repeat truth and it's the same truth, but it's new. If it's lived here and now, it's as if you've heard it the first time. If you live it now, here, now, right now. When you face a fear that's been unconscious and you let it go, when you look, when you realize your happiness doesn't depend on the outcome and the circumstance, you know, for instance, I want to be in Pueblo West right now, but I'm not. I'm here. And my, you know, my client's taking a long time to pay me, right? So I've got to sit with that and just be with that and just let this happen as it's supposed to unfold. You know, and surrender and just trust. I mean, that's the thing. That's how I'm applying this in my own life right now. That's the biggest thing in my own life right now. You know, for a long time, I had to trust that I would be, you know, sort of able to live going into this business that I felt drawn to go into. That's not, I'm not working for someone. I'm totally self-employed. So I've pretty much gotten over the sort of trust that, you know, the money's going to be there and all that, and I've got some money saved up and all that. But it's like I pretty much trust, you know, I'm in, I don't have a challenge with that. But some like, I still have issues where I feel like I got to trust what's going to happen with, you know, the larger decisions of my life, you know, where I'm going to move to, stuff like that. But maybe I was brought to this teaching to just maybe remember to surrender and trust, you know. You know, and also Greg's reminder that these universal fears and, you know, are going to express through all of these different experiences we have in relationships. You know, anytime we experience any kind of jealousy, anger, rage, you know, alcoholic, codependent behavior, he's talking about, these are all expressions of universal fear seeking resolution. It's like life trying to heal itself through these means, and when you don't do it consciously, it comes out unconsciously. You know, when I saw Regina with on the Facebook post with her friends and Danielle and everyone hiking the crags in the Facebook post, I had a pang of jealousy. Like, I really want to be in Colorado hiking the mountains. I really want to do that, right? So it's like, that's not what my experience is right now, right? I have to be here right now. And, you know, be in that moment now, let it unfold and surrender and trust, you know, and it's exactly when surrender and trust comes up is when things aren't, you know, working out exactly as you wanted them to. And yet we're reminded that this is what we've chosen, you know, and the question then is, how do we heal these things? It's like, how do we heal, you know, these fears and the abandonment, the self-worth, the surrender and trust, how do we heal it? Well, one of the things that Greg teaches is we must become trust. We must become surrender. And it's through our life experiences and through practicing. How do I learn this? Well, I become surrender and trust right here, right now in Chicago, Illinois. This is how I become it. This is how I practice it. And that can't be taught to me. Right? Regina can't teach that to me. She can't come into my life and have this experience for me. I have to do this on my own. I have to have the willingness to be here now and do this on my own. I mean, this is how my universal fears are disguised in my life right now, okay? And each one of you have your own, disguised in your own way. And the truth is that how long is this going to take me? How long? That's the question. How long is this going to take me? Anyone know what it depends on? Anyone want to type that? One word. Willingness, right? My willingness is going to depend on how long it takes. Willingness, right? My willingness to address these fears, to face it, to do the root cause inquiry, to look. How willing am I to do that? Right? And that's how long it's going to take me. So we can do the slogging path of the many years. And I guess I am on that slogging path of many years because I my willingness has grown, but it's not always been like super high. I was on an intellectual journey for many years that was somewhat practice, but mostly intellectual. I'd say now I'm on a true practice journey that's greatly accelerated from what it has been in the past. Becoming that trust, that worth, that union. And as I allow that healing to occur, my relationships, of course, naturally change and heal. There's nothing to hold those fears in place when the strings that hold them there are cut, right? So, cleaning the lens, and some of the things that Greg teaches of in his book here about how our universal fears can be expressed for abandonment and separation, things like relationships where you are devastated when they fall apart or break up, you're the one who's always getting left, or you're the first to leave a good relationship so that you're not hurt, the feelings of not worthy are the issues of low self-esteem, you creating relationships of career, friendship, and romance that match your experiences of not being good enough, surrender and trust, inability to surrender to your experience, relationships that mirror your expectations of this world being unsafe and unworthy in your trust. And these are all things that we manufacture, of course, in our mind. We manufacture them. We come up with them. And as NTI John 5 asks us, do I want to be healed? Do you want to welcome the light as yourself and as your only truth? So when you say yes to the question without hesitation or any exception, you will be healed and you will know the light fully. And this is how the healing occurs. And, we're reminded that nothing can keep this knowledge from us because that knowledge is who we really are. All that can keep this knowledge from us is a desire to not know it of yourself. And this is that this willing, intentional unconsciousness, right? And this is where we got to welcome the truth into all that you think and see and know and believe. Is this truth? Is this truth that I think I suck at relationships? Is this truth? Is that really truth? We're reminded that that space between the atoms, when that little molecule, that little tiny bit of platinum is turned just at the right angle, you can literally see the atoms lining up in rows and there's little spaces between them, and those bonding forces, that's the space, that's the bonding, that's what's truth. The buzzing vibration of awareness and love that is all that is. If I was truly in the space of loving, buzzing awareness, would I have any problem in relationships? No, I wouldn't at all. And then, everything we experience is our choice. Everything is our choice. It's the thought, the sight, the experience, what I think I see, what I see I experience, and back and forth. This is all through our choice, the loop, the code, etc. This is life living itself. We can exit all of this, right? by making that choice again, surrendering, being here. Light is free. Freedom is truth. Light is truth, freedom. Nothing binding you, nothing restricting you. You know, one of the ways I continue to get inspired is by sharing my journal and my inspirations, and also being one of the presenting ministers. This also is very inspiring for me to speak and to draw from these books and from inside and from all the teachings and speak them and talk about it. 'Cause it reminds me, you know. You know, and this is the gift, really, that I can get to the place where I do accept things as they are. You know, in one of the recent teachings with the gentle healing class, if you're a part of that, is talking about the creative principle. And when we do allow truth into the creative principle, it can flow. And when we judge, we clog the creative principle. So, you know, that sort of open pipeline of flowing water through the creative principle. You know, and we're just reminded over and over that it's through this experience of judgment, the divine decree that something is so, that we make the world as we see it, right? That's how we make the world we see. And we're inventing it. We're inventing the stories, the thoughts. That bonding principle, that buzzing life awareness that binds everything together yet cannot be seen, even by the most powerful electron microscope that can go down to the darn little atomic level, is actually showing space that it can't even detect between those two little things we call atoms. Now, I don't know if you realize how small atoms are. I mean, this is ridiculously small. And even between them, there's space. No two atoms actually touch each other. It's the bonding space that holds them physically together. So even though my hand touches the desk and pounds on it, it's not really touching it. It's just the bonding force, just a tiny bit of space between those atoms. So really, it's like literally God touching God. Bonding space and force touching other bonding space and force, none of which we can really see. And unless you have a mystical experience and you experience everything as light, as some of you have, as Regina has shared in her Apple experience. So that is how we heal. We practice. We become the trust. We accept and show willingness to actually become trust, to practice surrender, to practice realizing that I am not abandoned or separated, that I am one with everything that is, and I can never be alone, even if I'm alone physically. I cannot be alone. We become it. That is how we heal it. We actually become it. We become the trust. Regina cannot teach that to you. Jacqueline cannot teach that to you. No one can teach this to you. You have to practice it. You have to actually do the work and be in those moments and choose and choose and choose until this is your life. And that is the gift. And Cher is writing, it's the experience. Yes, do the work. That's awesome. Yes. So I had a great inspirational time in Oregon. Definitely renewed in my practice. You know, I'm still catching up with getting back on track, but I'm practicing every day with gentle healing, and I think that's the most important thing. If whether you're on this day you're supposed to be on or not in the class, it's you're practicing. And if you want a good review of a couple weeks ago, Thoughts of Awakening, show up at my sharing on Wednesday and you can hear it. Grateful for everyone here, grateful for Regina and the teachings, and grateful to Spirit, and grateful that we're all here bonded in that invisible force that connects us all that we can't even really see. And yet it's there, binding everything together, that awareness, that love, that the joy, the awareness, life, bliss. You know, and how do I get there? How do I heal? By being trust, by practicing it, by actually being valuable and worthy as we all are. As we all are. Because that's all we really are, is that awareness, that binding, loving, amazing energy that just creates all these wonderful forms that we can be with in joy and in love and surrender. So I will wrap up here, and we will move on to the next part of service. And that is the open meditation, and we're going to contemplate with the help of Lynn Johnson, our wonderful music maestro, after I give the mic over to her. And you can also donate if you feel guided to. We still do need some funds for repairs that we may want to do on the retreat house, or just general operating funds. If you feel guided to donate, please do if you don't already. This does support everything we're doing. So let's just take a few moments and be in this surrender, in this trust, and turning the mic to you, Lynn, for a song.
I will bring a cup of water, here's the best that I can offer. In the dusk of coming night, there is evidence of light. With the pattering of rain, let us bow as if in grace. Consider all the ways we heal and how a heart can break. Where it's breathless and it's empty, yes, abide with me, and we'll pass the evening gently. Stay awake with me, and we'll listen more intently to something wordless and remaining, sure and ever changing in the quietness of now. Let us ponder the unknown, what is hidden and what's whole, and finally learn to travel at the speed of our own souls. There is a living water, a spirit cutting through, always changing, always making. And it's empty, yes, abide with me, and we'll pass the evening gently. Stay away with me, and we'll listen more intently to something wordless and remaining, sure and ever changing in the quietness of now. It's like a message in a bottle that some unseen hand has thrown. You don't have to be afraid, you don't have to walk alone. I don't know, but I suspect that it will feel like home. and it's empty. Yes, abide with me, and we'll pass the evening gently. Stay away with me, and we'll listen more intently to something wordless and remaining, sure and ever changing in the quietness of now.
Oh, thank you, Lynn. It was a perfect song. We got a few minutes left before 10:30. If anyone would like to take the mic and share, I can turn it over to you. Carla, looks like you're up. Unless you, it's mistaken, turning the mic over to you.
Thank you, Jay. Can you hear me? Yes, thank you. So I was listening. My corn is ready, and so I was cutting corn off the cob while I was listening, and I realized what I listened to was actually Spirit speaking to me. I think that's one of the highest compliments you can give, that someone else, and it's also a compliment to yourself, because if you're hearing that, everything's fine. I don't know how to explain it, but I can feel tears coming up and I'm allowing something to yield to this speaking. I'm interested in allowing that to happen. So what you spoke about spoke exactly to my heart. Because this is a story. I signed up for these three trainings in next week for 10 days, and one of them is writing. And it's so amazing. Poems come out of me, yet I'm afraid of doing it. And I'm really getting caught up in the fear. And when you spoke the one word, wow, amazing willingness. Because that's one thing I make these willingness cards. And I've realized that making those cards, it wasn't about selling them or making money anywhere. It was about developing my own willingness, allowing the higher Holy Spirit self to live me, instead of thinking that little I is living this body. So I heard one thing in my mind said, what am I doing? I'm like, I, the powerless self, I really want to relinquish that and let the higher Holy Spirit self lead me in all things. And I had to write 1,000-word, I haven't finished yet, 1,000-word eulogy for myself. And what one thing is interesting, the one thing I spoke about myself is that maybe not much of her life, but toward the end, she was willing. When she didn't, she was willing to come to me. It's the truth. And if I'm not in that, if I'm believing anything else, I'm a liar. And I am just not interested in it. And I'm really interested in sharing with a group of people that are on the path, like everyone is. actually everyone in the world is on the path that I can share this with, and maybe allow the healing within myself. So I don't know. I just don't know. I'm really grateful for this opportunity to share. I'm even like 5 minutes to go to church. And I'm really grateful. It's like every single stinking thing is aligned for my awakening. Thank you for playing your part, Jay, in my awakening. I'm gonna lower the mic.
Yeah, thank you, Carl. I really felt some shifts in you with that. It was nice to meet you too in Portland. So I hope to see you again there sometime. Sonia, your mic.
Well, thank you. I just wanted to tell you how wonderful it was, Jay. Your selection surprised me as well, but it was really perfect for us. Yesterday I was on a little pilgrimage with friends, and I happened to be at Reverend Myron's, and she used to have a sanctuary in her home, and now she has changed that. It's her special place, but she keeps her bookshelves in there, and she has many pictures. I hope she won't mind me telling this. She has many pictures of Jesus in there, and so we were oohing and eyeing over them, and I have the laughing Jesus that she gave me, that picture years back, and she has that one up, and there's the portrait of Jesus that the young lady did, the young Russian lady did, that's grown to be quite famous. But there were others that I don't have, and so we were oohing and aahing over those pictures of Jesus. And then later on, Myron was conducting a tour of her house. We haven't seen her house in a long time. And I got sidetracked because, you know, that new copy of The Course is out, the one that Robert Perry did. That includes the original Urtext notes from Jesus, where he's talking directly to Helen, and there's actually some stories called Shields in the back where he directly addresses Helen and Bill. And so I was reading those, and so it was filled with Jesus. I mean, filled with Jesus. And so we're on our way home. It's quite a ways on that trip, and that's when I opened the reading that you had shared, Jay, and it was different. It kind of, you know, knocked me off my socks for just a second, and I was reading it aloud, and then I couldn't help but be blown away with the references to Jesus. And so my car mate in the car started giggling, and when I asked her what she was giggling about, she said, well, it was just so funny to see you guys oohing, aahing over those pictures of Jesus, like the Christ is outside of you, like the Christ does not live within us. So, Jay, thank you for this potent reminder, and for allowing divinity to be divine today. Thank you again. And Carla, thank you. And I'm sorry I haven't gotten to meet you in person, but I hope I do soon. And now I'm turning the mic over. Happy Sunday.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks, Sonia, again for reading. And thanks for that story on your way to Myron's in the car. That was neat. Okay, Regina, your mic.
Thank you. First of all, I just want to say to Sonia that the woman in me every now and then sees a really cute picture of Jesus and has to ooh and awe. I remember a particular picture in Israel. All us girls just stood there going, wow, cute Jesus. But Jay, what I wanted to say to you was, you know, I can tell you mentioned during your homily that for many years, your journey was an intellectual journey, and that now it's You know, it's practice. It's not just intellectual. It's and I can see, I can hear the deepening in it. I mean, I can tell by the way you speak that you aren't just parroting, you know, what you read somewhere, an NTI or a tip or someplace else, but that you are taking in what you are reading. You are deeply contemplating it, and it's coming back out as genuine clarity. And so I just wanted to comment that I hear that real process occurring. And I just want to concur with you that your journey is no longer intellectual, and it makes my heart sing. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for that, Regina, because sometimes when I even repeat words that come on a tip, which I know don't come from your, they come through your conscious mind, but you didn't come up with them from an intellectual perspective. They came from spirit. Even when I quote unquote parrot the same words, because I've contemplated it, it does feel like I'm saying it for the first time. And I like the way you said that, because there was a part of, and I realize this is mine now, that says, oh, you're just repeating what Regina said. And now I see that that voice that said, oh, this is bullshit, you're just repeating what Regina said, isn't real, because that's the ego trying to invalidate the genuine, authentic sharing of it that was from contemplation, even though the words are the same. It actually helped me to, and that's, you're writing correct, but that's a tricky thing right there. You understand? I think a lot of people get caught in that, and they say, well, I'm not going to repeat what someone else wrote or what Regina wrote, even though it feels genuine in me. But I guess I'm here to say it's okay to do that if it's truly genuine and it is coming from you as if it's come from you, because like Regina shares, it's really one spirit. Truth doesn't have an author, right? Regina Dawn Acres' personality self doesn't own those words and that truth. It's, you know, it's like those bonding forces between the atoms. It's personal, right? But it's not that there isn't a voice in me trying to distract me from that. There is. There is a voice in there saying, fortunately, it's lesser, and I'm not listening to it, and it doesn't derail me from sharing it. But I appreciate you making that point, Regina. Thank you. You're up next, Ruby.
Yeah, what came up for me is thank you, Jay, for that that lesson, because what came up for me about 2 or 3 days ago was to start watching my mind again, and then today's, I know it was yesterday's contemplation said, now is the time to watch your mind. The time is now. If you've forgotten for a while and you notice that you forgot, the time of forgetfulness has passed. Now is the time. So that was just right on for me, your message today. And I had done some, you know, watching my mind, and what came up for me, you know, three days ago, in a process of writing a question that I had, but it was, I wanted to share this, and it had to do with me sharing it again for me. And it's just very simple. And it's in a dialogue that I was having with my true self. And the question was, is it Because I'm telling you, my mind feels that it's suffering if I'm not, if I don't do my lessons on time. So, is it important to read the NTI lessons on time? And this is, of course, this is for me in my mind. It said yes and no. Yes, it is nice to keep up. But if I want you to go into a different direction, then do it. Do it in joy and peace of mind. And that is the thing to do. So, and then it went on to say, because sometimes I get this message says, be with me. And it interpreted that for me because I wasn't so sure what that meant. Be with me. Stop what you're doing and be still with me. Go to your heart and breathe with me. So, I'm supposed to watch my mind, but I was also giving a practice. And the practice is to bring my attention to my heart and breathe with me, the Holy Spirit. So thank you for allowing me to share that because it could have gotten lost in everything. And thank you, Jay, for your message today. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. And thank you, Ruby, for commenting. And it was definitely a key to remember these important points about our willingness. And that's really as long as it takes us is how willing we are. And that it can be individual expression of the same words and truth, but it's the same truth and it can be heard as truth, even if it's quote unquote parroted from someone else, or your own words from truth, from spirit, whatever it is. So I wanted to wrap up the service. We're a little over time. And thank you all for sharing who did. And I'm really grateful to be here and to have the opportunity to share and all of you to be here as well in this divine communion that we have here. So, and thank you, Doug. Good to see you here too. And we'll turn it over to Lynn for our closing song.
tears.